And that comb, we find it in a bird. The bird, which is symbolizing in the future, you will see the thought, because the only thing we have that can fly is the thought. And within these thoughts, these old birds, there is one of them with a comb on the head. You say, that's the one. That's the one that brings the message. That's the one, that's the only thought that could help us to find the path and go on with it. Here, suddenly, this handmaiden will become like the head. This sickness will make it the herd. Means, if you are sick, means if you are a very logical person, to us you're sick. And guess what? If you're sick, if you're a logical person, your path is the path of logic. So this lady will become like the path. You will mistake the path. You will find one way in your head, and you think this is the way to live. How do you live? The way your brain dictates to you, right? Your intelligence. This is because of this sickness. And the other people, could they help? Of course not. They claim a lot, but they are arrogant. Why are they arrogant? Arrogance comes from this. So, you seek the advice, and the advice you receive are the arrogant one. They always say, it's always like this. The rule is that. It will be mainly this, and that's the way you lose everything. And everything works upside down. This was the first paragraph of this book. Okay, my explanation helps or not? You don't know yet. Now you're sleepy and confused. Next time being here, inshallah, you will review this. And this session should give you, should clarify something for you. That how I'm doing this and the way I look at this book. Because I believe that this master did it this way. He started exactly from the beginning, the first step of your separation, which was becoming an individual thinker. Then in the second paragraph that you will read before coming to class next time, inshallah, you will see that, okay, he said, this is the problem. The solution, first of all, is to change your view about existence. To see something that your intelligence cannot see. What is it? Last time we talked about it. I hope you remember. Even someone made a better drawing of this. You remember? Your brain, your intelligence understand only the existence. He doesn't even give a damn to your dreams. If you have nightmares, you think that maybe you ate too much. Maybe you were poisoned. Maybe this, maybe that. But it's not important because you woke up, right? One third of your life you're there and you don't pay attention in that dream. And remember the dream means I have a dream and all that. You don't, your intelligence doesn't know that. Then is imagination, which is illogical, and every logical person will tell you, don't leave it to your imagination. Don't let your imagination go wild and things like that. And at the end is that state of non-existence that intelligence is incapable of working over there. So, to have a pause, to have a vacation, to have a rest of this one, we go towards non-existence, because over there, this lady will not accompany me. I will become the king I was at the beginning. That's the path, that's the way we're going. Look at it carefully in the second paragraph. This king will get rid of his shoes. Means the instrument the instrument to help you walk. Please, Pat, you go barefooted. He goes to the mosque. Because mosque is the only place that something is there that this one does not understand and does not like. Humbleness. Intelligence does not understand the humbleness. By going in the mosque, by going down, putting your head on the floor and praying to God, you will become humble. Then he will cry over there. We'll talk about this crying a lot next time, inshallah. Then we'll go to sleep. In the sleep, he will find the man, the teacher, the master. Here we hear the name of the master. The master is Hakim. Hakim is a very special term, because here, instead of science or knowledge, we'll say Hikmat, Al-Hikmah. And the guy who has this knowledge is Hakim. And Hakim, in Persian language, immediately you will differentiate between visible and invisible. He is there, but it seems that he is not there, he doesn't exist. Exactly like imagination. And we will say, imagination, imagination looks like that it doesn't exist, but it's the pillar of all existence. Your fight, your peace, your hate, your love, everything depends on your imagination. Look at you, your universe is running on imagination, and you don't take your imagination seriously, because you take this lady seriously. Look at the second paragraph for the next time, inshallah. Yes?
How does imagination and intuition destroy?
No. No. Imagination is something that I let it for later, because it's a very complicated one. Even in Persian language, it's a very complicated one. Because the word made out of imagination, the first word that comes to the Persian mind when you talk about khiyal, they go to khiyal, bafir means hallucination. You see, imagination and hallucination are very close. It has that meaning of hallucination, it has the other meanings. And Rumi insists upon this word khiyal. We learn it in book 2. Right at the beginning of book 2, first paragraph, we talk about this imagination, and we say this imagination looks like an idol, looks like something wrong, but deep down, this is the savior, this is like the Abraham. You remember Abraham the prophet, who is the friend of God. This friend of God is an idol maker at the beginning, and he looks like a bad guy, but it ends to be the head of the prophets. Imagination is like that. At the beginning, when your childish imagination starts, that's more hallucination, daydreaming and all that. Even with a dream, you go to daydreaming, right? So imagination is very complicated. I leave it for later. But remember, the word is khiyal, and we'll talk about that later.
Just at the end, if there's time, I would love it if you would just close with your reading in Persian of the first
part. I will, at the end of the week.
This is going back to the beginning of class. Or even earlier classes, you were talking about, you mentioned with the Mahnawi that that he really taught, and then the poems are what were written down in the Mahnawi.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was in Farsi. So my question is, were the teachings in Arabic, and also the question, did the students speak Farsi? Did the students Farsi?
You want to know my guess?
Yeah, please.
Because I told you, there is a history which is a bunch of lies. Because historians are the big lawyers, all of them. They started with being paid by the kings to write down something, and later individually they became the king and they wrote nonsense. And I know nothing about the history. Okay? So I know nothing about what happened in that class, and I don't trust the people who narrated to me, because with different tendencies they will describe it in a special way. Normally they will describe a poet in their own image somehow. If there is this revolutionary guy, he will give you the revolutionary image of Rumi. If there is this passive guy with the religious tendency, he will give you the picture of Mullah, and I don't know what's what. I could only guess. Okay, these are my guesses. Don't rely on it.